We're beginning to kick off our vision for our church, and today I want to talk about in the driver's seat. We know that a vision is important for a church, and we're going to look at a scripture here in Proverbs 29:18. Anybody know what that says? All right, the pastor knows. All right, the pastor knows. Good. So where there is no vision, and today I want to talk about our vision a little bit as we proceed, but today the vision isn't as important as our core values. And so we're going to talk about our core values today. And I hope it grabs your attention here today, because your core values is what we believe. And without our core values being in place, our vision is useless. And so we're just going to begin here, Proverbs 29, verse 18. You're familiar with the King James Version. We heard it quoted here just this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so what I would like to do is just kind of look at some other translations and how they kind of spell this out for us, maybe give you some different insights, a different look at this scripture here today. The New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. The NIV, the New International Version, says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. The New Century Version says, where there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled. But those who obey what they have been taught are happy. The International Standard Version says, without a prophetic vision, people abandon restraint, but those who obey the law are happy. The Living Bible says, where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. But what a wonderful thing it is for a nation to know and keep his laws. And the Good News Translation says this, a nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. Happy are those who keep God's law. There's a lot of insight in this scripture for us today, and as we daily can see the evidence of this happening in our own nation, we can see it in our government, we see it in our culture, we see it in the entertainment industry, we see it in our businesses. How many know our businesses don't have a backbone? They won't stand up to what our culture is demanding. In our schools, there's some episodes that happened just this past week. Some things are going in our school, homes, and even in our churches. And so we can see this scripture being fulfilled before our very eyes, that without God's guidance, guess what? Things are going to fall apart. And we see it happening, even in the church of Jesus Christ. All these institutions listed above they're going to either explode or implode eventually if they're disconnected from God. Let me just define this here a little bit this morning. Explode and implode are antonyms. They are opposite, but how many know they have similar results? The definition of explode and implode, they are two verbs that describe the process of something breaking apart, but in different ways. Explode means to burst outward with force, while implode means to collapse inward with force. For example, a bomb explodes, sending debris in all directions. In contrast, a building can implode when it is intentionally demolished, collapsing inward on itself. So what we see here is there's two effects. One is collateral damage, which means it's blowing out, and then there is self-destruction. And as we sit in church here this morning, there are churches ready to explode. There are churches that are sitting on a powder keg. There are churches just waiting for the fuse to be lit. One little spark, and that church is going to blow up. There is church splits. There are disastrous things happening in ministries. They are exploding. There are churches ready to implode. They're imploding from false doctrine. They are imploding from acceptance of worldly behaviors. I don't know about you, but there are churches that have rainbows on the side of their churches. Shame on us. There's failure in leadership. There is a clinging to religion. There is those that are afraid of change. We know that if we keep doing the same thing, what happens? We get the same results. And so that's why we as a church have spent the last year, 10 of us together, contemplating and praying and believing that God is going to take us in a particular direction. So we don't want to be in one of these situations here today where we're ready to implode or explode. Thomas G. Bandy said this, and this was in our Acts 2 Journey workbook. He talks about change. He says the real world is a world of chaos. Culture is changing so quickly, with so much diversity, in so many simultaneous directions, and using so many learning methods that church groups organized around traditional principles cannot keep up. They find themselves spending more and more energy lamenting change, resisting change, struggling with change, expressing anger about change, desperately trying to manage change, or just plain surviving change. Change, however, will not go away. As much as we desire it, it's here to stay. It is relentless, and it is accelerating. I read a thing online this week from Tom S. Rainer. He is a church guru. He's very much into leadership training. He takes a lot of surveys, and this is the latest one that has come out. And there's some good news and some bad news found in this. He said 56% of churches are declining, 9% of churches are plateaued, and 35% of churches are growing. So in reality, 65% of churches are declining or plateaued. And so we can say that's a lot. It is. But a few years back, they had discovered that 80% of churches were declining and plateauing. So the good news is that something's happening, something's changing for the good. And so we want to be one of those churches that neither plateau or are in decline. And so as we look to Proverbs chapter 29:18, and I'm going to kind of stick with the King James Version here today, talking about vision. There are two important elements of the Christian walk that are listed in this verse. Number one, there is the vision part. There is the revelation part. How many know we need vision? We need revelation fresh from the throne room of God. But it also needs to be tied to, secondly, the Word of God. Whether it be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they lived under the covenant. Moses came along, and he brought forth the law. And then what do? We emphasize the Word of God, the Bible. And so that's what kind of grounds us here today. It's what guides our path today. And so these two elements are found in this scripture here today. And we can apply them this morning personally to ourselves, or we can apply them corporately to the church. But both of these things are given to us to keep us on track. God intended us to experience both. One is based on the other. Revelation outside of the Word of God is dangerous. How many know that? People do their own things, as we read in these scriptures. They run wild, they cast off restraints, they're uncontrolled, they run wild, and they perish. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, if you're familiar with the story of Eli and his sons, it is the story of Samuel being raised up. And Eli and his sons were not, they were the high priests at the time, and they were not good people. His sons were disobeying the commandment of God by taking sacrifices that weren't set aside for them. They were taking women and having sex there in the temple. And so there was a lot of things going on there in this time. But it says there in the scripture that the Word of God was not happening at the time. There was no revelation at the time. And so God raised up a Samuel, because the Word of God they were not obeying the Word of God, and there was no revelation. So we see in that time the confusion. We see that God warned Eli, the people warned Eli, and even Solomon, Samuel, amen. So we see that it plays a part. We need both revelation and we need the Word of God. The Word of God is foundational to I'm going to take a breath. Amen. We're okay. Everybody okay? All right. The Word of God is foundational to Revelation, all right? When I took my test for my credentials, my first level, I was in my early 20s, and one of the questions on there was, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, was it equal to the Word of God? And so, what's the answer? No, it is not, okay? Tongues and interpretation, prophecy is not equal to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the standard. It's the standard in which we judge revelation. It's the standard in which we judge tongues interpretation and prophetic utterance. And so they play a part together. Because we want God's revelation. We need God's revelation. Because without it, how many know what the Word, what did Jesus say? The Word alone, what? Is death. But the Spirit brings life, right? We need the Spirit. We need the Word. And so let's just use that as a foundation as we move forward here this morning. We came out with a vision statement, and we shared this with you a while back, a couple weeks ago. And we came out with this vision statement that says, bridging community in Christ to bring hope, wholeness, and abundant life. And so these are the things that we want to see produced coming forth as fruit out of our life, because do we not want to bridge? Do we not want to connect people to God? We do. We want to bring people hope. We want to bring people wholeness. We want them to be complete. We want them to be mature in Jesus Christ. We want them healed. And we want them to experience abundant life. And so our team was made up of 10 individuals. Some of them are not here this morning, but we will introduce them here next week. Or not next week, but the following week. We have spent a year kind of compiling some of these things. One of the things we realized that being 2 miles out of town really is a disconnection from our town. We have tried a number of things this past year, events here on our campus, and people were not coming. So it was just reinforcing to me, at least in my spirit, that if they're not going to come here, we need to go there. And so our vision is not being stationary here on this piece of property, but taking the church there. We want to bridge community in Christ. Our vision statement came out of what we believe are our core values. And some of these things are already in place. They're growing. But there are others that may be a little bit more of a desire than they are in actuality. And so Sam Chain, in his book called Change Your Culture, Change Everything, makes a few statements. He declares some things. He says, culture, not vision or strategy, is the most powerful factor in an organization. He quotes Dick Clark, not the rock and roll guru, but another Dick Clark. The fact is, culture eats strategy for lunch. He goes on and says, organizational culture includes the tangible and intangible. So we understand what tangible is here this morning. There are the things that we see. If you look around this room here this morning, you can see the way people dress. You can see the way they behave. You can see how we worship. You can see the outward things. And so even looking at our facilities here today, we have not a whole lot of decor here in our church, but that kind of speaks of our culture and where we're at the moment. And so the tangibles are those things that we see around us. But they're also made up of the intangibles. These are the things that we cannot see and maybe that we don't quite understand is under the radar. But they're important. In fact, they're probably more important than the tangibles. And so this is the organization's true personality. The organization's values, their beliefs, and assumptions make up the intangible. How success is celebrated, how problems are addressed, the manifestation of trust and respect at all levels of the organization, how we care for one another, how we communicate, what and how are very important in the communication area, shared goals and responsibilities. So those are the intangible things. And so we are going to begin to present to you some vision statements, some strategies, some goals, but these are only tools. These are only going to help advance our core values as we reach out and fulfill the Great Commission in which Jesus Christ has called us. And so culture is the most important thing. And culture is the hardest thing to change. Do you hear me? Culture is the hardest thing to change. And so we're going to look at some things here this morning. Culture changes with the introduction of new people. How many know that? And if we don't change, we're going down a dead-end road. And so let me just say that we've had some people come through our church that I believed would have been assets to our church. But because I believe that they kind of went against what was established here, the culture of our church, they moved on. I believe they would have added some things to our church that I think would have been beneficial to our church, but our church culture wasn't ready to accept the change. We are not the Borg. How many know who the Borg are? We do not assimilate people to fit into a collective hive, right? You Star Trek fans? Change your culture, we change everything. So the core values that will be shared are not revolutionary. What we're going to share with you, and as we proceed, we're going to go at a slow pace. We're going to, as I don't know if you know, there's been changes going on for the last 3 years. But we've been kind of nice to you. We haven't kind of sprung it on you. We kind of haven't made any major decisions. And how many know when you do that, it causes rifts? And so we've been very wise. We're turning the cruise ship very slowly. We're excited about what God has in store for us and where God's taken us. So our core values this morning are like a mirror. And as you got up this morning, hopefully you looked in the mirror. Hallelujah. You looked in the mirror. And most of the times when we look in the mirror, it's basically for cosmetic reasons. We want to comb our hair, we're shaving, we're putting on makeup, we're doing whatever we need to do. And we're really not looking into the depth of who we are. We're just looking at the surface. As long as the surface looks good, man, we're okay, right? But how many of us look in the mirror of the law of God and really begin to soul search a little bit? How many of you look in the mirror and look beyond the flesh and look into your soul? How many of you actually look into your own eyes? And this morning, hopefully that's what we're going to do. We're going to be looking into our own eyes today as we kind of present to you 7 core values that we have come up with. There are many more core values that belong to our church. Maybe you might think there are some that are more important than what we listed, but we kind of kept it down in number to make it something digestible, something for you to feed on, to kind of, regurgitate, right? And think about it. So, some of these core values are very well established within our church. Some are growing. Some are just kind of there. And some of them will be ones that you think are very important, while others of you think, not so much. But these are our core values, and we're going to share that with you here this morning. And so our first core value here on Chapel on the Hill is contagious worship. It is a place to pursue and experience God's presence. How many know that's what we want to be, and that's who we are? You have a history of worship here at the church. You've had much talent come through this church in the area of worship. But today, with contagious worship, what we want to do when people come in is we want to model worship. We want to not just see it modeled on the stage, but we want to see it modeled in the pew. We want there to be a freedom in the Holy Spirit. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit moving among us. We want spontaneity. We want unpredictability. Amen. I'll take the yes. Amen. We want participation. And that's one of the areas we're going to be working on. And so we have this core value that we believe that when we get together, we should enter into the presence of God and that God's Shekinah glory should come down and meet us. Amen? That is our desire. And so that is our first core value. Our second core value is a welcoming culture, a place to belong. We want people to come here and we want them to feel like they're at home. Many churches proclaim and will tell you that we are a friendly church and we are a loving church. But the truth is, most churches are not. We're friendly to each other, loving to one another, but we kind of avoid those that are new to the church. But we want to begin to develop a culture here that when people walk in, we recognize who they are, we know their name, and we talk to them. Right? We talk to them. Isn't that amazing? And how many of you have gone to a church and nobody talked to you? Nobody even acknowledged you. They glanced at you. They gave you a weird look. But they never came, introduced themselves, and welcomed you to the church. That's sad. God forbid. So a welcoming culture. We want to have great communication. We want to invite people to be part of what we're doing, but we also want to be informative. And we are working on some of that detail because we realize that we can tell you, we can have it on there, we can have it on our Facebook, we have it on our website, we can announce it 15 times and you'll still come up and say, now what are we doing? So we know that great communication, all right, needs to be improved, and we are working on that in all aspects, from the IT, from Chris helping us out in that area, to us talking about it in front of you. So we also give you paper, all right? So there's lots of, how many know we have a Valentine's banquet coming? We've been announcing it for a month, but we just wanted to make sure you knew that we were having a Valentine's banquet. All right. Follow-up, that's one of our things that we've kind of been slacking. So we want a welcoming, we want them to welcome there, but we want them to come back. We really do. Our third core value, strategic discipleship, a place to learn and apply God's word. We want to begin to develop a discipleship process where we can have people that are new to their faith to a place where we're releasing them in the ministry. Isn't that the goal? That we multiply ourselves? So what we want to do is we want to teach with a purpose. You know, so much of what we can do is just give you more information, more information, more information. And how many know most of us have information overload? Most of us are trying to just squeeze more in. And how many know we can only contain so much? How many know we got to use what we have to gain more? So we are encouraging discipleship with a purpose, not just for information, but to train you, to equip you to do the Lord's business. So we want to multiply, not add, all right? We're into multiplication. That's what the Great Commission is about, not just addition. Another core value is our transformation. How many know they want to see lives changed? It is a place of change. And what we want to do is when we gather here, we want to challenge you. I hope every Sunday school teacher, every children's worker, every youth worker, every senior, anybody does anything, I hope we are challenging one another. We want the student to become a teacher. We want the follower to be a leader. We want a disciple to be a discipler. And that's the process in which we're doing. And we want you to be part of that. We're going to challenge you week after week. And we are going to have a ministry fair when we're done presenting our vision because we want you involved. We do have holes. We are growing in some areas. And we want to keep the growth happening. And so we're going to challenge you. We want a church where it is a safe place. It is a safe place for you to be vulnerable. It is a place for you to be accountable. It needs to be a safe place. That when you come and God's doing a work in your life, that we as people ministering with you, alongside of you, there's a freedom there. There is a safety margin. There's an integrity there that, hey, we're there for you. And if you're going through some things, hey, it can stay there at the altar, right? It can stay with those that you're talking about. So we need a safe place for transformation to take place. How many know in our world today there is a lot of garbage? And how many know we don't need to know everybody's garbage? Sometimes there's too much information. And so I want to encourage you. Let's create a safe place for people to come and allow them to meet God and allow God to do that work without us being a hindrance to that. It needs to be a place where there is a freedom to be you. We don't want you to act like us, talk like us, be like us, minister like us, serve like us. We want you to be you. But most of all, we want you to be like Jesus. Amen. So that's what we're here to do, is we want transformation to take place because we want you to be more Christ-like, that people will see Jesus in you. Another core value is church growth and vitality, a place to grow and thrive. We want to be a church that's healthy before we grow. There are churches that are growing that aren't very healthy. They're presenting things that are not biblical. They are growing because what people want, their ears tickled. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to be justified in their actions. And so we want to be a healthy church. We want to be a healthy church. We want to be a growing church. We want to be a church that reaches every generation. We have some gaps of ministry in our church, but we're just praying that as our children are growing into youth and our youth are growing into young adults, that we can hang on to them. And I believe a lot of that has to do with, again, the strategic discipleship, that we get our kids involved and train them in the church to be the next ministry generation. And so as we go forth, we want growth through evangelism. Most church growth today is transfer. And so we take transfer growth, yes? We have natural multiplication happening in our church, right? Got babies in the church. But one of our goals is to be a church that evangelizes. Another core value is missional, a place for outreach. We emphasize this over and over again. Everyone is called to the mission, the Great Commission. Jesus has instructed us. Where you fit in and how that looks like is between you and God. It's a calling that God places on your life. If you don't have a calling on your life, you don't know where to place, hey, there are lots of places you can join up with somebody else in their vision. But everyone is called to roll up their sleeves and work. We want it to be an opportunity here in the church where you can learn here in the church, but we don't want you to stay in the church. We want you to take it outside the four walls of the church. We believe in home missions and foreign missions. Our missions program has grown every year. I'm excited about it. This year we have in April, we changed our missions from March to April, and we have three individuals coming in. Some are ones that we've had before. There's some that we're already supporting, and we have one that will be new. So we're excited about what God's doing. We want people not only to support missions financially, but we're encouraging you to go. We do have some missions opportunities, home missions opportunities. They go to Pittsburgh twice a month, I believe, for the homeless. And so some of these opportunities are available. We have missionaries going all around the world. I have one of our individuals coming in. He puts together teams. And if you want to go to a specific part of the world, he can get you there. He can get you there with a team. And so we're excited about what God's doing in that area. So everyone in every program in our church should be focused on the Great Commission. It's not just a gathering time, but every group should have a mission. They should have an outreach aspect to them, that it's not just us four, no more, but that we are basically having our eyes on those outside of our group. And the last one is celebrate wins. We want this to be a place where you can testify. Many of you have come up to me before the service and say, hey, can I share a testimony? Man, we encourage testimonies. Sometimes we break in the services. Anybody have a testimony? These are the opportunities that we need to hear. We need ministry testimonies. We need prayer testimonies. We have prayers going up for people. How many know we need to hear the results? We need to hear the answers. My mom, I'll call my mom and say, we have this going on in church. Could you pray for this individual? And she'll ask me a couple weeks later, a month later, well, whatever happened, you know? We want to be informed. We want to know what's happening. Prayer works. How many know that? And if we can encourage people through our testimonies to pray more, hallelujah, that's a major plus. So there is a recognition of ministries and people. We want to do that. We've been concentrating on that. We've done one cycle pretty much, recognize the different ministries in the church, but that's something we need to do continually to encourage those that are involved in our ministries. And we want to share short-term and long-term wins. As we begin to lay out our vision, we want to share the victories. We want to share, hey, we are meeting the benchmarks. We are moving forward. So these are just some of the things that are in place. Contagious worship, if you put up the list. The whole list. That's my daughter, so I'm allowed. There should be a whole list of them. What's after this one? Keep going. Keep going. Go to the end. Nope, I didn't put it in. All right. All right. Okay. I did have a slide with all of them on there. I must have not got it in there. All right. Okay. So just to repeat, contagious worship, welcoming culture, strategic discipleship, transformation, church growth and vitality, missional, and celebrate wins. So these are the things that we've boiled it down to as our core values. These are the things that we are going to be working on as we present our vision. These are also, we're going to present ways of improving and encouraging these core values and helping them grow in those areas as well. Without them in place, our vision is not going to go anywhere. And we're just going to be kind of throwing it at you and you're going to be going, whatever. All right? So we'll be talking about that. So the core values are the drivers of the vision. So that's where the title of my sermon comes from. It is not the vision that's going to be driving us forward. It's our core values. And so we are going to begin presenting those to you. We're going to have goals for our core values, but we're also going to have goals for our vision. And so we're excited about it. I know it's not that thrilling of a sermon, but it is going to be exciting. If these things begin to take place, they take root, and you can grab a hold of them and get excited about them, there's nothing going to be able to hold us back. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're excited about that.